There weren't many surprises last night in Wisconsin. On the Democratic side in the presidential contest, Bernie Sanders beat Hillary Clinton 57-43%. For the Republicans, Ted Cruz topped Donald Trump 48-35%, with John Kasich a distant third. The question now for both parties, has there been a major shift in momentum? And what's it mean in the presidential contest moving forward? To answer these questions and more, we're joined this morning by Republican analyst Todd Domke. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
And Democratic analyst Dan Payne. Good morning to you, Dan.
Morning, Bob.
First, the Republican side. Have a campaign's worth of various controversies finally caught up with Donald Trump? Are GOP voters finally holding him accountable, Todd?
I think so. In Wisconsin, it seemed like Donald Trump beat Donald Trump. The recent controversies really took their toll. He turned off a lot of Republicans with his attack on Ted Cruz's wife. That offended people in Wisconsin who value civility, and he offended a lot of people on abortion and other gaffes. But I think Trump misjudged Wisconsin. He knocked the Republican governor, Scott Walker, who had 80% popularity with Republican voters. He knocked House Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin. He knocked a popular local conservative radio talk show host. So his usual anti-establishment insults backfired, and the Never Trump movement ran a lot of anti-Trump ads. And finally, with only Ted Cruz as a viable alternative, the anti-Trump forces finally coalesced around one candidate.
Dan Payne.
Well, election night felt odd. There was no Trump victory speech, no braying about how smart and rich and successful he's been as a candidate. It's a cliche to say he had a bad week heading into Wisconsin, but he got clobbered by Ted Cruz. He lost by 13 points. And as Todd said, there was unified opposition to Trump for the first time. There's one more force at work here, as Todd suggested, and that's Trump himself. He blundered when he said women who have abortion should be punished. He wanted South Korea and Japan and Saudi Arabia to get nuclear weapons. And he tried to defend his campaign manager, who roughed up a female reporter, and it was on videotape.
Is this a beginning of the end for Trump, and how will the anti-Trump establishment try to finally bring the Trump phenomenon to its close, if it can, Todd?
It looks like the beginning of the end for Trump in that it now looks pretty certain that we'll have a contested convention. Trump would need about 60% of the remaining delegates to secure the 1,237 he needs to secure the nomination. That doesn't seem possible. He's only been getting 46%, not 60%. Ted Cruz would need 80% of the remaining delegates, and that's not feasible either. So the anti-Trump forces want to keep unbound delegates and Kasich and Rubio delegates from supporting Trump on the first ballot, because then delegates are free agents on the second, and they think Trump will be stopped.
There's been a lot of talk this week about drafting a GOP nominee who's not Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, or John Kasich. House Speaker Paul Ryan is most mentioned. Cruz warns against it, saying it'll further fracture the party. Is he right, Dan? And is it likely that the party will try to recruit a dark horse?
Well, nominating someone who didn't compete in the primaries will create chaos at the convention. I mean, Trump delegates and Cruz delegates will be outraged if some new candidate gets drafted behind closed doors. You know, Paul Ryan has been mentioned for so many jobs in the Republican Party. The next place I expect him to be seen is as running back for the Green Bay Packers.
Well, the party will probably fracture no matter what happens. If Trump's nominated, about one-third of Republicans say they will not support him in a general election. Exit polls in Wisconsin reveal that 58% of Republican voters say they would be concerned or scared if Trump became president. And if Trump is not nominated, his supporters are expected to protest at the convention and maybe sit out the general election. So the next few months will be turbulent for the Republican Party.
All right, Democrats. Bernie Sanders won, as we said last night. Dan, his string of recent wins, what's fueling him?
Well, a simple answer is caucus states and states that allow independents to vote and states that are overwhelmingly white. And his success is built on being close to the hearts of the Democratic base. He's against things that Democrats don't like, the Wall Street, the wealthy, trade deals that have hurt American workers, and wars that we keep getting into. And he's for things that Democrats do like, higher minimum wage, ending discrimination based on sexual orientation, and action on climate change. Hillary has similar views, but her critique isn't as sharp.
But Bernie Sanders does have a real movement. I mean, he has true believers who are passionate about him. Many of them feel the way many young voters felt about Barack Obama in 2008 when he promised hope and change. Bernie's main issue has been income and wealth inequality, reforming the political system so it's not corrupting. And his supporters like his message that change comes from the bottom up. They see Hillary Clinton as the opposite, that she represents the political and Wall Street establishments.
Is Bernie Sanders' surge going to carry him to the convention? He thinks it is. And is Clinton in deep trouble?
Well, he's won 7 of the last 8 states by large margins. If he can win New York and California and most of the remaining states, he can pressure superdelegates. He can plausibly argue that superdelegates should switch and represent the will of the voters. But for that to be persuasive, he needs to make Clinton seem like a loser, not just by beating her in these primaries and caucuses, but also in polling matchups with the Republican opponents, showing that he'd be more electable.
Well, Bernie Sanders is raising money at a clip that will keep him going to the convention maybe 10 years after that. I mean, he raised $44 million in March alone, Hillary Clinton $29 million. So that's fueling a lot of his candidacy. But Hillary Clinton has a bulletproof vest. She has a big block of superdelegates, and Bernie Sanders' speech was aimed at superdelegates last night. His pitch was that he has 6 million individual contributions from 2 million people. He's won 7 out of the last 8 states. And most important, he's doing better than Hillary Clinton versus Trump in national polls.
All right, the contest ahead, Dan Payne. Clinton is way ahead in Pennsylvania and California in the polls and is way ahead in her home state, New York, which is the next big challenge. Can Bernie Sanders beat her there?
Well, he can win in New York, but it's going to take a major effort. You know, he may have grown up in Brooklyn, but she lives there and represented the state in the U.S. Senate for 8 years. Now, like Trump, she can't really tolerate a loss there. It'll be a tough blow.
So, Dan, does Clinton beat Sanders in New York, yes or no?
Yes.
And Todd Domke?
I think it depends on the debate in New York. If Sanders somehow bested her in that debate, it's possible he could win.
And that's how the Republican analyst answers a yes or no question. Todd Domke, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Dan Payne, thank you.
You're welcome.